You and me both. Good morning.
Michelle, you have five running backs. How do you plan to use this group? Or what makes you think the running game can be better than what you saw against Washington?
Well, I think number one, obviously we're not going to take five into a game. One of them will be down, obviously, maybe even two, depending on our needs for that particular week. So, and now that we get into these weeks, you know, begin to game plan a little bit and get a little specific with guys by personnel, by play type, and really hone that in this week. So, starts on Wednesday. We begin our base game plan, and then we carry it on to Thursday, Friday, and get these guys going.
Will that be game plan based, which ones are up, or will that be merit based?
No, it's game plan specific. We go into each game, and of course, injury obviously plays a part in that as we get going. But by game plan and how we want to utilize our running backs. It's week to week.
So you have all 53 healthy when you start practicing this week for the game?
Yes. Yes.
So Howie the other day said that there's going to be a focus on developing the guys who they bring back or the guys that aren't starting guys like. A guy like Dylan Gordon, who I know you guys think have a lot of potential. Bryce Treggs was on your roster last year. Nate Jerry, who you drafted this year. Will that be a change in how things are done? Will they get more reps? Because we don't see your practice. Will they get more reps? Will they be included more so than
I think with that bottom, bottom third or so of the roster, I think one thing I'm going to implement this year is actually time spent after practice with those guys, developing their talents. They more than likely don't get it, and they won't get a bunch of reps, obviously, with the offense or defense from a game plan standpoint. They get all the service team reps, as you know, but at the same time, we want to make sure that we're maximizing their talents and also maximizing my younger coaches that are on staff. And by developing those guys and spending time after practice for 10, 12 minutes and just going through drill work specific to what we're doing offensively and defensively. So we don't let those guys just sort of drift by the wayside, so to speak. We continue to watch their development, watch their growth.
How much input can a person in your position or Frank Reich's position or Jim Schwartz's position have into that development, considering your normal responsibilities?
It won't fall on the coordinators as much. It'll fall on the position coaches, and they're responsible for detailing the work of these younger players, and then our assistants that are our quality control coaches and offense or defensive assistant coaches will be able to take these players onto the field after practice and put them through some fundamentals and some drill work that'll keep them coming along.
Along those lines, you guys kept two guys who kind of fit in that category, Danelle Humphrey and Shelton Gibson. I mean, how important is it? I mean, the fact that you used a roster spot for those guys, but also to develop them and continue, make sure they can develop.
Yeah, it's very important that we continue to develop all those guys, especially the two you mentioned, because you never know. They're one play away from being in a, being active, being in a football game. I've been in that situation before, so I understand. And so, my message to the practice squad players, to the guys on the 53 that could potentially be a healthy scratch on game day, my message is this: you're a snap or two from entering a football game. So we have to, as coaches, we got to make sure that we're doing our part by helping them and developing them, so that if and when that day comes, they're ready to play.
As a coach, though, you keep these guys who, how we can have that long range goal in mind to develop these players, but you have to win each week. You have to look at it that way. How do you look at those roster decisions that might not help you win this week, but could help you down the line?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of a fine line because, obviously, my focus and the coordinator's focus and really the position coach, our focus is on that specific game plan that week. But we also know that our part of our jobs too is to maintain the development of our younger players, and we just got to continue to do that. And really, I've been on the practice squad, so I understand that it's you're constantly looking at a card, and it may not be what we do offensively or defensively, but to get those 10, 12 minutes after practice repping plays that we do or a route or a drop by a DB linebacker, I think is just valuable for that person's growth and development, the entire season.
Doug, Mike Lombardi took a bit of a shot at you, questioning your qualifications. I know you've dealt with your share of criticism, but wondering what your reaction is to that when it comes from somebody who's been in the NFL fraternity.
I haven't seen the article. I'm not sure what you're talking about, so I don't pay attention to that. I'm confident in what I do. He's not in the building. I coach our coaches and coach our players, and I think if you ask any one of our players or assistant coaches, I think they would maybe say something a little bit different. I have not read the article, so I can't respond to it.
The criticism was about your experience, and that you were the least qualified head coach in the NFL. And when you were hired, comparatively speaking, I guess you were. I mean, how do you respond to that notion about your qualifications?
Somebody here, Mr. Lurie, Howie, the guys thought I was qualified. So, in my opinion, that's good enough for me. Again, this organization is behind me 100%. And again, I think you could ask the guys in the locker room, and that's my concern. That's my focus.
This is year two for you, obviously. A lot of upheaval before last season, 8 days. How do you feel this year as far as the talent level you have in that locker room? Do you see a big difference?
Yeah, I think we're in a better position roster-wise, obviously, going into this season than we were a year ago. Definitely we had the quarterback situation a year ago, and now that's behind us, and we're full steam ahead. So I'm excited about this week, this week of practice. And, as I said all along in preseason, that, just to watch these guys perform and put our guys in position, both offensively and defensively, to be successful is our job as coaches. But at the same time, to be able to let them play free and cut it loose. And I'm excited to watch them this week.
Is Blunt the featured running back as far as carries? So Sproles is the best catching side. Is Blunt the featured back as far as carries?
Again, it goes back to the game plan. Quite honestly, we understand that LeGarrette, might be a little different runner even than Sproles and Wendell. So I think it's game plan specific. It's hard to go into a game saying, LeGarrette, you're going to get X number of touches, because you never know what the game's going to, what circumstances might be posed during the game. So, it's going to be a great effort by all three guys each and every week. Want to get all of them obviously involved in the game plan.
Doug, is it better, though, to have a dominant – is it better for the rhythm of the offense to have a dominant running back as opposed to splitting them up by committee?
I think you can. I think you can have a runner that you kind of hang your hat on. I don't want to just sit here and say that, Darren, you're obviously a third down guy, or Wendell, you're a first, second, third down guy, because – we want to get all these guys involved in the game plan. I think it's important to what we do. And if LeGarrette has the hot hand, he continues to carry the ball. If it's Wendell, it's Wendell. So again, I can't sit here and tell you exactly how many touches these guys are going to get, but at the same time, when we put game plans together, we're very mindful of not only the run game but also the pass game with these guys too.
Do you carry just 7 offensive linemen on game days, or all 8?
7.
Doug, what have you learned from Alshon Jeffrey from the time he got here to now as you get ready for week one?
I'll tell you one thing is just his attention to detail, his focus, his drive. Feels like and seems like that he's eager and ready to go, kind of chomping at the bit a little bit, with my decision to kind of rest him during camp. And, he's obviously a big target. He's you just go back, and I spent the last couple of days just watching his targets over the last couple of seasons, just seeing how he runs routes and how he plays on game day, and it's exciting to watch him. He's a big physical guy that we're excited to have on our team, and really look forward to he and Carson connecting and doing some good things.
Doug, it's a long season. This is just 1/16 of it, all that stuff. But how much stock do you put in to the idea of an opener, or maybe a first couple games, setting a tone, helping the confidence in the locker room that, hey, we can get something done this year? And so how much do you front load onto this game?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for our team, number one. We haven't done so well against this group, going back a couple seasons, and obviously, last year with losing twice. So, and we didn't play well down there. So I think it's a thing that it's in the back of our players' mind, and it'll be a focus for them. I think it just kind of draws you in, especially to open the season with a division opponent. And we didn't do so well on the road last year either. So this is something that's important for our guys, for our coaching staff to embrace it this year, this week. You'd love to be able to come away with a victory, and I think that kind of sets the tone early in the season.
When you get back at the qualifications thing, how does a head coach prove that he's qualified? Is it wins and losses or intangibles or –
I think both. I mean, listen, it's kind of like quarterbacks. If you don't win the Super Bowl, you're never going to the Hall of Fame, I guess. So, wins and losses, I think, are the biggest, biggest indicator. Maybe a championship, obviously, a Super Bowl. To me, it's sometimes amazing how people put just that. You know, obviously, that's what you see is the wins and losses and nothing else. I pour myself into these guys each and every day. I want them to see that. And, I think you can just ask these guys, how well or the things I need to work on. They'll tell you. And I'll also tell you the good that's going on as well.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Doug.